Amen. Well, good morning. How's everyone doing? Thank you, Kim. I'm doing great. Thank you all so much for your prayers and just all your thoughts and concerns. Thank you for everyone who provided meals for me last week as well. My kids absolutely loved it. Okay, it was quite the treat for all of us. So we are so thankful for our church family and all of you. And I'm glad to be back and not sitting in the hospital bed right now. and I'm just so thankful for our team, for Chris for stepping in and doing such a phenomenal job. And as I was sitting here worshiping this morning, I was just realizing And what God orchestrated last week and what he spoke through Chris last week was meant to be heard last week by whoever came, by whoever listened. And the message that God gave to me for last week was meant to be done this week. And so if you're here today, know that God planned this, God orchestrated all of this. And I'm excited to dive into week four of our summer road trip series. Now, I'm doing great. I'm feeling great. I have to pee a lot. Sorry, too much information. But I was just like, anytime I stand up, I have to go to the bathroom. And so I'm like, I don't know if I can stand the whole time. So I'm like, you know what? I'm not even going to risk it. Just standing up there and being like, you know what? I can't leave the stage, so I'm just going to go. But anyway, so I asked for a stool, and I'm gonna sit because I think it's going to be best for me and you as well. I want to pray, and let's dive into today's word. God, man, we just love you so much. You are so good, and you are so wonderful, and you are so faithful. And so we thank you for your presence. We thank you for your church. We thank you for your people. We thank you for your spirit. God, we thank you for leading us and providing for us and guiding us and just for the constant reminder that you are always there. Today, would you just allow your word and your spirit to speak to each of us, no matter where we're at, no matter what transition we're going through, no matter what we're facing, God, that you would speak. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. All right, so we've been doing summer road trip series. Is anyone that like drives, and I'm probably mostly talking to guys, maybe some women as well, but ever, you know, we're going to go on this road trip. It's like a good 12-hour drive. Is anyone here like, I'm going to do the whole drive? I'm going to see if I can accomplish the whole drive by myself, right? Because that would be quite the feat if we could just drive the whole time. And we'll do that, right? We'll be like, all right, we're gonna leave at 4 in the morning. I'm going to see if I can do this whole thing, all right? And just really prove to everyone around me that I drove the whole way, right? And we're like, yes, and if you made it, you're like, see what I did? I drove the whole way. Why didn't you ask to help or drive? Why didn't you, you know, anyone else that was there, we're like, why didn't you step in to drive? And so we do that sometimes. And here's the reality, we shouldn't, okay? We shouldn't drive that long. I know it's fun to see if we can do it, but honestly, you know, the fatigue sets in, the just sheer boredom of driving sets in, and you know, your mind begins to wander, and there's signs of fatigue. And for my wife, she begins to notice some mannerisms about me driving, like I get a little bit more relaxed, right, and not as just observant to things around me. And she'll ask me time and time again, honey, do you need me to drive? No, I'm good. I got at least two, three more hours in me. I can make it. I can do this whole trip by myself. And she'll ask again after I, you know, swerve into the other lane. Sorry, it's happened one too many times. She's like, your eyes are closed. I'm like, no, it was a long blink. You know what I'm saying? You know, there's like, maybe you're not swerving to other lanes, but you know, you're kind of just kind of going like this a little bit more, and your head's kind of doing a little bit of that, and maybe your pace is slowing, and she's like, why are you in the slow lane going 40 on the interstate? And it's like, you know, we'll get there, it'll be fine. But these things happen, and you know, you hit the rumble strips, and you're like, oh, I'm awake, got another 45 minutes in me, you know, and so it happens, but it happens. And you know, I was thinking about this in our lives and how oftentimes we set out on this journey that God has us on, and we think that we have to do the whole thing all by ourselves. We think that we have to go it alone, that we have to drive alone, that we have to lead alone. But the reality is, on the road trips that God calls us on, we don't have to do it alone. And God, he doesn't ask us to road trip alone. When God calls us to go, he doesn't expect us to road trip alone. You see, in our weakness or inability, guess what he'll do? He will guide us, He'll provide for us, he'll save us, he'll strengthen us, and he'll do this through various means, but I believe often he does so by means of other people in our life. Now, we've been talking about Moses and the Israelites and the road trip that they've been on and everything that they've been going through. And, you know, I was just thinking about this call for Moses when, you know, God first showed up in the burning bush. And, you know, thinking about God saying, hey, I need you to go and go back and tell Pharaoh, let my people go and talk to Pharaoh. And Moses was like, no, I can't do this. I can't speak. And, you know, Moses was thinking that he had to do it alone and it was all going to be on his shoulders. And one of my favorite parts, and I don't have time to talk about it today, but one of my favorite parts about that is, you know, Moses is giving all these excuses and saying, no, I'm not an eloquent speaker. Pick somebody else. And God just needed Moses to be obedient and say yes, because God had already had a plan to send someone else. Because at the very end of it, he said, Aaron's already on his way, and he'll speak for you. And that was already God's plan. God just needed Moses to say yes to go. He said, if you say yes, listen, I will provide all that you need. You're more than capable, but I know where you're weak, and I will be the strength for you. And so he wasn't alone in that. But we're going to fast forward a little bit, and we're going to jump into kind of this wilderness journey. And up until this point, God has fought for them. You know, it was in Egypt, there was the plagues, and God was doing his thing and the miracles, and he brought them out without really the Israelites having to lift a finger. They get to the Red Sea. Once again, God shows up, parts the Red Sea. The Israelites, all they got to do is walk. They got to follow, and God shows up, and he does his thing. And then we get to a point where Moses, the Israelites, they have to kind of get their hands dirty. They have to join in the fight. And there's a part in here where it would seem like if Moses tried to do this alone, he would not be able to. And God says, you're not alone. There are so many people around. So I want to share some of this story. This is the story of a battle of the Amalekites. And so we're going to jump into Exodus 17. And we're going to read a little bit of that. And it's verse 8. So you can follow along on the screens. It said, at Rephidim, Amalek came and fought against Israel. Moses said to Joshua, select some men for us and go fight against Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the hilltop with God's staff in my hand. Joshua did as Moses told him and fought against Amalek, while Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. While Moses held up his hand, Israel prevailed. But whenever he put his hand down, Amalek prevailed. When Moses' hands grew heavy, they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat down on it. Then Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on one side and one on the other side, so that his hands remained steady until the sun went down. So Joshua defeated Amalek and his army with the sword. And so, what do we see? Moses has his role. Hey, go up here and stand and hold your arms up. And they say, yeah, if he's not holding his arms up, he'll come down. And then God's like, I got Aaron and Hur here with you, and they're gonna help support your arms and support you and encourage you and be there for you. And then Joshua and all of the Israelites are going to be fighting. So you have all these people doing all these things, and God in the midst of all of it making it work. And so we see Moses is not alone. Now, in the very next chapter, it's a really cool story as well, where Moses is kind of shown like, hey, you don't need to be doing this alone. He's trying to. And so this is Exodus 18, verse 13 through 23. It says, the next day, Moses sat down to judge the people, and they stood around Moses from morning until evening. When Moses' father-in-law saw everything he was doing for them, he asked, what is this thing you're doing for the people? Why are you alone sitting as judge while all the people stand around you from morning until evening? Moses replied to his father-in-law, because the people come to me to inquire of God. Whenever they have a dispute, it comes to me, and I make a decision between one man and another. I teach them God's statutes and law. What you're doing is not good, Moses' father-in-law said to him. You will certainly wear out both yourself and these people who are with you, because the task is too heavy for you. You can't do it alone. Now listen to me. I will give you some advice, and God be with you. You be the one to represent the people before God and bring their cares to him. Instruct them about the statutes and law and teach them the way to live and what they must do. But you should select from all the people able men, God-fearing, trustworthy, and hating bribes. Place them over the people as commanders of thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. They should judge the people at all times. Then they can bring you every important case, but judge every minor case themselves. In this way, you will lighten your load, and they will bear it with you. If you do this, and God so directs you, you will be able to endure, and also all these people will be able to go home satisfied. And so Moses is there, and he's trying to meet the needs of everyone all by himself. and it's not doing him any good. And many people are waiting around all day and not even being seen. And I'm sure Moses is tired and maybe messing up and, you know, dozing off through some of it, you know. And Jethro, his father-in-law, comes in and says, hey, you don't have to do this alone. Bring other people around you, beside you, to help you and to go with you. And in this, what God is doing is saying, hey, Moses, there are people around you who can help you. And what God is doing, he's saying, I'm going to guide and provide in this moment. I'm going to guide and provide people and resource. And that's the reality. When God calls us on a road trip and we think, okay, I can't do this anymore. It's too much. It's too heavy. We're trying to go alone. God says, you're not alone. There are people around you who can help you. And that's how God works. He brings people into our lives to help us on the road trips that we are on. And so here's the reality. We're not meant to road trip alone. And while we're not meant to road trip alone, we may find ourselves feeling alone or feeling like we have to do it alone. And often what that leads to is moments of what I'm calling drift. And when I say drift, I want to kind of give this to you, because each of the letters kind of lead to what we may experience when we try to road trip alone. When we try to road trip alone, we will experience drift. Depression, running on empty, isolation, failure, or tiredness. We're trying to do it alone. Those five things may show up in our lives and creep in and cause us to doubt and cause us to be too heavy burdened, cause us to be tired, cause us to be weary. And those things will weigh heavy on us on top of the burden of whatever it is we're trying to do, on top of feeling alone. And so there can be this drift that takes place. And now, if you know Moses' story at all, you know Moses experienced these moments of drift. You know, first and foremost, being, you know, called by God to go and to speak to Pharaoh and to speak to him alone, and he felt alone in that, right? There are many moments where he felt alone, but he, in his leadership, maybe he felt alone. In this story, where he was holding up the staff, maybe there was a time where he's like, man, can't just someone else just take this staff? And failing and leading in God's people, feeling like a failure in leading God's people, many times where, you know, he would share and he would tell them, and they wouldn't listen or they wouldn't follow. And you think about the time that he comes down from the mountain and they just heard about God's commands and not to put any gods before him. And he goes back up and he comes down, and what are they doing? They're worshiping another god. And so he feels like a failure. And I think even just this relationship that he has with God, and even in this moment where he's judging all these people, he's like, well, I'm the only one that can talk to God the way that they need me to talk to God. And so just this, and all of it weighed heavy on him. But he wasn't alone. And I love that through this story. And many other times, God reminded him. So, on your road trip, have you ever experienced the drift, depression, running on empty, feeling isolated, feeling like a failure, or feeling tired? Yeah, have you ever thought to yourself, this burden, this calling, what God is sending me to do, he's called me to, it's mine and mine alone, and only I can bear it, and only I can carry it, and only I am gifted for it, and only I can. That's not how God works. And it's not what he wants for you. And when we think that, when we think that we're meant to carry or do whatever God calls us to do by ourselves, that's what leads us into moments of drifting. Into those feelings of depression and failure and isolation and tiredness. Oftentimes, our road trip drift, the drift that we experience, it's self-imposed because we just keep trying to go it alone. Or we feel like we're going it alone. We feel like no one else can help. And we keep pressing on and thinking to ourselves, this is it, I gotta do it. If I don't do it, no one else will. If I don't do it this way, it won't be done the right way, right? If you think that you carry the burden alone or you're calling alone, there is a good chance that your drift is self-imposed and not by God's design. And oftentimes, it can be born out of pride or perfectionism, insecurity, or people-pleasing, or just seeking the approval of others. So often, our drift is self-imposed by our inability to get help or ask for help from others. So I'll ask you today, is your drift, is it self-imposed? Are you choosing it and continuing to choose it? Because maybe going it alone is easier than having the hard conversation that you need to have. Maybe going it alone is easier than having to explain yourself or to trust and rely on somebody else or to, you know, take what you've done or how you do something and teach someone else and show them and delegate to them and then follow behind them and show them where they did it wrong. And that just seems harder. Or maybe you just have the fear that they will ruin everything that you've done. They'll just mess it up. So I gotta do this myself. I wonder how many times Moses thought that. Well, no, I can't let other people judge. They don't have the same connection that I have to God. I've seen the decisions that they make. I've seen the rebellion. I've seen the disobedience. So I'm just gonna sit here and do this alone and carry the weight myself. And it leads us down this path where we experience this drift. Now, whether our road trip drift is self-imposed or, you know, merely circumstantial and the circumstances are out of our control, I fully believe that in our drift, God may have something to show us and teach us, or he's desiring to humble us or grow us. And maybe in your drift, God needs you to reflect on your bad choices that you've made. Amen. Maybe in your drift, you need to see where or how you took your own path over his. Maybe the drift is to reveal that you have begun to rely on yourself over him, or how you're bringing glory to yourself over him. Maybe it's because you allowed a relationship or financial material gain or work or purpose to pull you from your relationship from him or with others. Maybe the drift is to remind us of all that God has already done to bless us, to guide us, to provide for us, and to save us, to get us to where we are. He says, hey, all that you have, all that you are, all that you have been, it's me because of me. Somewhere along the lines you forgot. Or maybe, just maybe, the drift is simply to reveal the people around you that God is saying, hey, you're experiencing this because you haven't utilized one of the greatest gifts around you, and that is my people. My people that I've put in your life specifically to help you through what you're going through. They can help you stop drifting. Rely on them. Reach out. Humble yourself, remove the pride, and get help in this road trip that I've called you on. You see, even in our drift, God wants to show us something that we've missed, or that we've overlooked, or that we've yet to learn. And maybe it's just about you. It's self-awareness. Maybe it's about him and his character and who he is, or maybe it's about just the road trip he has you on. He's going to show you something. So if you're experiencing that, if you're going through that right now, don't think that it's purposeless. God has a purpose. He will work through it all. But we gotta go from drifting and get back on the path with him. And so we gotta look to him and be reminded of who he is. You know, in our depression, right? The drift, the depression, the running on empty, the isolation, the failure, and the tiredness. Here's the truth of it all. God is still with us. And he's not just with us. Right? We look at this story, but he's guiding us actively, and he's providing for us, and he's continually saving us. And through it all, he's strengthening us. And in our drift, what's God want to do? God wants us to teach us to continue to rely on him. I think sometimes what happens is we get on this path and we get on this journey and we experience success and things are going great. And we begin to think, oh man, look how good I did. Look at what I've accomplished, right? We like to say, all on my own. And we lose sight of God behind the scenes all the time, and that ultimately it was because of him. And so he wants to teach us to continue to rely on him, but I also think he wants us to begin, if we haven't already, to rely on others. And here's the truth. God will continue to draw us back to reliance in him, and he'll remind us of the importance of relying on others. Now, in the fight against the Amaleks, here's one of the things I talked about just a little bit briefly, but they all had purpose. And they were all relying on one another to carry out their purpose. So we had what? Moses, lift your hands to God, right? Pray and praise and worship and call out and let the Amaleks know that when I'm raising my hands to him, it's because of him that we're going to win. And the moment that I stop, well, we stop. So Moses has his his purpose. And Aaron and Hur and Joshua and the Israelites are relying on Moses to do this. Aaron and Hur are there to what? To support and encourage Moses in this. So he doesn't have to do it alone. He needs the help of Aaron and Hur. And so what if they're just like, you know what? He's got it. Let's go take a lunch break, you know? No, they're there and they're supporting and encouraging Moses. Moses is relying on them. And then you have Joshua and Israel, and they're to be strong and they're to be courageous, and they're down and they are fighting. They're on the front lines. And so this is what we got. Joshua and Israel relying on Moses, Aaron, and Hur to command the army and to call out to God. Aaron and Hur are relying on Moses' unique leadership position in connection with God, right? This is what God has called Moses specifically to do. And Moses is relying on God to guide, provide, and save them. And you see how it just all runs down line, but it's not just on Moses. It goes out to all of them. They all have purpose. Moses and the Israelites would have failed miserably if Moses tried to do all those roles by himself. I mean, it would have been over like that, right? Because you got one guy up against the army. He's like, all right, I'm up on the mountain, come attack me, and it's over, and it's done. He couldn't have done all those things by himself. And sometimes, I don't know what it is. Maybe we want to achieve. Maybe we want to feel accomplished. But we try to set out to do these things that we aren't meant to do alone. And it ends up being a failure, and ends up hurting us. And ultimately, those around us who were depending on us. You see, when we can only get so far by ourselves, because eventually we'll become too weak, or too stressed, too tired, overburdened, overwhelmed. And instead of helping, right, what God wanted us to do and desire, instead of being helpful to those around us and ministering to those around us, what begins to happen is we begin hurting those God called us to help and to lead. And we saw it. Jethro called Moses out. What do you say in verse 17? What you're doing is not good. You will certainly wear out both yourself and these people who are with you, because the task is too heavy for you. You can't do it alone. You don't have to do it alone. So that's what, you know, God used others to save Moses from his road trip drift, right? He had someone to hold him accountable, to speak into his life and in his leadership. Say, hey man, you're doing good in these areas, but over here, that's not good. Holding him accountable. That's not good for you. That's not good for these people. So Jethro spoke into his life. So he had someone to hold him accountable. In the fight with the Amalekites, he had someone to hold him up. And we all need someone to hold us up at times, don't we? When we've, man, done a great job and we've done our purpose, but we're weary and we're tired and we're burdened. And so Aaron and Hur show up, and what do? They shoulder the burden with Moses. They give him a rock and they hold up his arms. And they're able to win because of it. And then, so they have someone to hold him accountable, someone to hold him up, and then someone to hold the line for him. And this is so important. Someone to be the strength and courage fighting for him where he couldn't. You know, doing the things that he couldn't. So you have Joshua and the Israelites holding that line for him and ultimately taking the victory. And so what God did for Moses, God wants to do for us. God will use others to save us from our road trip drift. And so there's three people, or three sets of people that we need in our lives. The first one is all of us need spiritual mentors to hold us accountable in our life. Someone to speak into not only our walk with Jesus and our spiritual disciplines, but also in what God has called us to lead. Who's holding you accountable? We need spiritual mentors to hold us accountable. And then we need close friends to hold us up. Close friends to come alongside us on the left and on the right. Man, just to be there, to encourage, to support, to help, to carry the weight, to shoulder the burden. So spiritual mentors to hold us accountable. Close friends to hold us up, and a church family to hold the line for us. And I love what Terry shared about the prayers and praises, and it's an amazing thing when we are able to rely on the family that God has given us to pray for us, to support us, to encourage us, to be there for us. And when we begin to rely on our church family, man, there is nothing that God can't do. Because where one can only accomplish a little, many can accomplish a lot. And we see that in this story, and we see that in our lives. And so if at any time, If any time we have feelings of drift, what we need to do is we need to examine, do I have these people in place in my life? And if they're in place, am I properly utilizing them in my life? Do I have a spiritual mentor? Am I sharing the struggles? Am I sharing the things that I'm going through? Does he know or does she know about what I'm going through? Are they able to honestly speak into my life and call me out on my crap? We need people to hold us accountable. We need friends to come alongside us. So I talked earlier about sometimes I have a problem with trying to drive the whole time on road trips. But that, you know, that definitely kind of comes into my life and my leadership. And I was thinking about how this has happened with me in the church and leading the church and setting out to lead the church and just leading too long, just without breaks. And in the beginning, I kind of had to. And I'm so thankful that, you know, where we're at now, that I'm not doing that anymore. But there have been many times, like, I'll be honest, where I've desired to just be done, to not do this anymore. It'd be so much easier to not do this because it's so hard. And oftentimes, those feelings, they're self-imposed, because I'm trying to carry and shoulder too much burden, and God did not call me to that. I get overwhelmed. I've been driving too long without breaks, without rest, without letting someone else drive. And in the end, guess what happens? It hurts relationships. First and foremost, it's going to hurt my relationship with God, because I'm trying to do so much, I'm not spending time with him. Then it's going to hurt my relationship with my spouse, and then it's going to hurt my relationship with my kids, and then it's going to hurt my relationship with my friends, and then it's going to hurt my relationship with my church family. And it also hurts my attitude towards people. Because I'm stressed, because I'm tired, because I'm fatigued, because I'm overwhelmed, I might be short-tempered, I may not just be about it, and so my attitude towards people and things that I love to do takes a hit. I've seen it hurt the overall quality of ministering to people. There have been times when I've been so driven that I miss moments. Moments to engage, and moments to encourage, and moments to disciple, and moments to listen, and moments to pray. And that can happen, and it does happen. I'm going to ask that the band make their way back. So I was thinking about this. Okay, these moments I've experienced, these moments of drift in my leadership, and so let me examine who's holding me accountable. A few years ago, Chris, he's just been such a godsend in my life, and you know, he had talked about his role, executive director, and what does that mean, and honestly, For me, it's holding me accountable. Really, what I get to do is vomit on Chris just about every day. That's what he gets from me. Chris, here's the crap. Here's what I'm thinking. Here's what I'm going through. Oftentimes I'll be like, bro, I'm just feeling meh. I tell him that so many times. And he just encourages me. And he speaks truth into my life. And he's like, hey, that what you're feeling? Okay, I can see where this is going on. Let's do something here. But that other stuff, that's a lie of the enemy. And so I have Chris holding me accountable. At the beginning of the year, we created what I'm calling an executive team. And the executive team has been so great for me because I have gone from like having to shoulder the weight of making all the decisions to now spreading it out and saying, guys, help me make this decision. Let me do this and just help with this decision. I have an association of pastors that I meet with every year. And we sharpen one another and we encourage one another. And I'm so thankful for that. And I even meet with pastors around here. Okay. I got these guys holding me accountable, but I got to reach out and let them know what's going on. Okay, who's holding me up? This is the second question. Who's holding me up? Well, I think about it in this realm, and it's my church staff. And it's been quite the thing to see it go from 2 to 4 to 9. And the church staff just taking care of needs and taking care of things that I fail to or that I miss, or when I falter or fail, when I'm burdened or I'm tired, they're there. And we don't skip a beat because they're there. And they're there on the right and to the left. And they're serving shoulder to shoulder to me. When I have a kidney stone and I'm out, I don't have to worry about it, you know? And it's because I have them. And I didn't have to think, you know what, babe, take me to church because I got to go preach with my full-on kidney stone. Postpone the surgery. No. And it was a lot for Chris, but he did it. And God spoke through him powerfully. It's one of those things when we rely on others, God will show up in big ways. It's quite the thing to behold. So people holding me up, who's holding the line for me when it comes to church? Who's serving and giving and loving and praying and ministering? Who's seeing what I don't and being where I can't? You wanna know who it is? It's my moment makers. Oh, it's the volunteers of this church. I think sometimes we go through the motions of what we do when we're serving. Man, but don't let those moments are so precious. What you guys do, you're on the front line and you're ministering to people that I don't get to, and you're serving people in ways that I don't get to. My moment makers, you're my Joshua. My army winning the war. And Joshua's name is so significant. You know, in Exodus 17:13, it says, so Joshua defeated Amalek and his army with the sword. Joshua. Everyone was doing their part. It wasn't like in Moses and Aaron and Hur and Joshua and the Israelites. This is Joshua. Joshua's name is so significant. Joshua in Hebrew is Yehoshua. This means that Jehovah is my salvation. Now, if you are a Bible nerd at all, and you know, if you ever heard this word, you're like, that Yehoshua sounds very similar. It's because Jesus' name in Hebrew is Yeshua. Yehoshua and Yeshua. And what's that? Yeshua, he is our salvation. I just love the parallel. Because really, at the end of the day, here, when we experience road trip drift, yes, let's remember these things. Let's remember to have someone to hold us accountable. Let's remember to have someone to hold us up. Let's remember to have someone to hold the line for us. But most importantly, no matter how long you've been drifting, remember that Jesus is our salvation. He's our salvation. And with Jesus, we're not alone. With Jesus, we're not defeated. Because of Jesus, we're not failures. In Jesus, we find peace and we find rest. And we find purpose and we find belonging. He is our salvation. He is our destination. And we hold on to that and we keep moving in his direction because that's what he has for us. And when we drift, we remember. We remember who he is. We remember what he's done. We remember what he calls us to. I'm asking that you guys would bow your heads. Close your eyes. And I know, like I said, from conversation, from prayers, that there are many experiencing this right now, feeling defeated, feeling isolated, running on empty, maybe feeling purposeless, just tired. First and foremost, know that God has not left you. He's still with you. And right now, he wants to remind you that you're not alone. You don't have to go through what you're going through alone, and you don't have to carry the burden alone. And there are plenty of people right here in this room who would gladly come alongside you. So maybe right now is the time to just take a moment to reflect on those questions. Who do you have holding you up? Who do you have praying for you? Who do you have praying with you? Who do you have praying beside you? Who are you reaching out to for prayer? Who are you taking time to meet with and have conversations with and unload on? And who do you have holding you up? Because you need them. We all do. No matter what phase of life we're in, no matter what phase of part of leadership, no matter our role or position, no matter the transition, no matter the road trip we're on, we always need people beside us to hold us up. Who is that for you? If you think of a name, you think of a few names, awesome. Are you utilizing them? If not, reach out to them. Starting today. The second one is, who's holding you accountable? This is so important. spiritual mentor in your life, to speak into your life, to speak into your situation, to speak truth where it needs to be spoken, but also to discredit the lies that you're saying to yourself or that the enemy is speaking to you. Who's speaking into your life? Who's giving you godly, wise counsel? Do you have a spiritual mentor? And if you do, when they speak, are you listening? Are you taking their advice, or are you just refusing to hear it? Refusing to make the changes necessary to get out of the drift that you've been in? We need these spiritual mentors. We need people holding us accountable. And it's so important that we have them in our lives continually. Lastly, who do you have holding the line for you? Fighting for you or beside you? Praying and interceding and supporting and encouragement? Who's your army? Who's your people? Who are you relying on? We need each other. And we always will. That was always God's plan. He doesn't just send us by ourselves on a solo mission. No, he sends us to be in unity, to be the church. God, right now, I just thank you for this reminder. I know there are so many who feel alone. God, I pray your spirit has told them that they're not alone. They don't have to do it alone. I pray today that they would share whatever burden, whatever weight, whatever sin, whatever temptation, whatever they're going through, God, that they would share. That they would release it, first and foremost to you, but then release it to others. Release it to their close friends. Release it to an accountability partner. Release it to their church family. Because the stuff we go through, while we think we're the only ones that go through it, we're not. So today I just pray, God, that we'd be a people that relies first on you, and second, relies on the people that you put around us. Thank you for this reminder today. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your son, Jesus, who is our ultimate destination. It's in his name that I pray. Amen.